From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama is praising the Afghan people for their participation in that country's first democratic election in some three decades. But the president also noted that violence is likely to continue. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
The president called the election an important step forward. He said it's evidence that the people of Afghanistan are trying to take control of their future, even amid the Taliban-led violence designed to disrupt the election.
Once again, extremists in Afghanistan have shown themselves willing to murder innocent Muslims, men, women, and children, to advance their aims. But I believe that the future belongs to those who want to build, not those who want to destroy.
No winner has yet been declared. It's not clear if President Hamid Karzai will win re-election. The president said the U.S. stands by and is ready to work with the new government. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has become the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. to allow gay clergy. By a comfortable margin, the assembly struck down a ban prohibiting clergy in same-sex relationships to serve in the ministry. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
In retrospect, it seemed inevitable. The Assembly of Ministers and Laypeople voted on Wednesday by a two-thirds margin to approve a social statement on human sexuality, which laid the theological foundation for accepting gay relationships. Still, gay rights proponents were nervous as conservatives argued during the debate that they were putting the denomination at spiritual risk by endorsing behavior the Bible does not condone. In the end, the Assembly voted to allow clergy to have such relationships, although it said that no church will be forced to employ a gay minister if it does not want to. Unlike the Episcopal Church, where many conservatives bolted after losing the debate, Orthodox Lutherans have vowed to remain in the church and create their own synod or group within the denomination itself. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Sales of previously owned homes rose to their strongest level in nearly 2 years in July. The National Association of Realtors says sales rose more than 7%. Economist Lawrence Yoon says first-time buyers rushed in to take advantage of a federal tax credit that expires this fall.
Buyers are responding to the stimulus package, the tax credit, home buyer tax credit, and furthermore, because prices have come down so low that people are saying, you know, it's too good to pass on this buying opportunity.
A housing report boosted confidence on Wall Street, so did a positive assessment of the economy from Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. He told a gathering in Wyoming today that it appears economic activity is on the verge of recovery in the United States. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 155 points today to close at 9,505. The Nasdaq gained 31 points. The S&P rose 18. This is NPR. President Obama says a homecoming Libyans gave Lockerbie bomber Abdelbaset al-Megrahi yesterday was highly objectionable. And British Foreign Minister David Miliband says the way the Libyan government behaves in the next few days will help determine whether Libya is accepted back into the international fold. The British government is distancing itself from Megrahi's release, saying it was the Scottish government's decision. Megrahi is the only man convicted in the bombing. His release has outraged many relatives of the 270 people who died in the attack. They are said to be planning to protest Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's speech at the United Nations next month. In Fort Lauderdale today, a federal judge sentenced a former employee of Swiss banking giant UBS to more than 3 years in jail. NPR's Greg Allen reports that the sentence is longer than prosecutors had asked for.
Bradley Birkenfeld was the head of UBS's private banking division. In his role with the bank, he hobnobbed with wealthy customers and advised them how they could hide assets from the Internal Revenue Service. Birkenfeld pleaded guilty to one conspiracy charge that he helped an American billionaire hide $200 million from the IRS and evade paying taxes. He faced a maximum sentence of 5 years. Prosecutors, though, asked the judge to give Birkenfeld no more than 2.5 years because of his extensive cooperation with the government. Prosecutors say Birkenfeld gave them key information that helped secure a settlement with UBS and the Swiss government. After the settlement, UBS will divulge the names of nearly 4,500 American account holders suspected of tax evasion. In the end, federal Judge Williams Locke gave Birkenfeld 3 years and 4 months in prison and imposed a $30,000 fine. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.